Good morning.
Morning. Hey, how are you today?
Good, good.
Good. It's Larry that's here. Ryan's in the office on a call that he is getting off of soon.
Okay.
Call. Tell her I can call her back. And Barry's father's in the hospital as we speak that he went to go check on. So he knew we had the call when I spoke to him first thing this morning, but we'll see where he comes back to us from.
How's his dad?
I don't know. I called earlier, and I haven't spoke to him since, so I don't know the answer to that. Him and his dad have not been close for a number of years.
Okay.
His dad's kind of a his dad's kind of like not a good person, so
yeah,
but still his dad, so
right.
So we're doing that. We have a video library of our of these conference calls, but more importantly, I guess a video library of the of your what would they be? Your weekly speeches.
Yeah,
you can go back
right.
to those two and three times. Correct. There will.
Oh yes. Many as you want, once a day for 5 days, or twice a day.
I don't want to give you a big head that I like looking at you and, you know, love this, but I do think that for me, going back and reviewing these programs, I learn much better visually than I do by reading a book. As much work as you put into the coach's guide, but I learn much better visually by going back and, which I need to do, going back and I saved all the videos from you in a file here, but we can go back to those 6 months from now,
yeah,
6 weeks from now, correct?
Yeah, and if you ever have a problem, Larry, just call me.
Okay.
Or call Cindy, call anybody. You can always get you access to whatever you need.
Okay. No, I just find, like, you said some things last week that I thought were not just last week, but last week in particular, you know, what did you value most from our time, our meeting today? You know, kind of reedifies it. Yes, I know that. I should be saying that a lot more. The stuff that we do isn't rocket science. The stuff that we do is just we got to keep it in front of our face and keep going back to it because it's common sense. So
well, that, you know, it's not common. It's not common sense until it's common, right?
Yeah.
I'm on as well.
Ryan jumped on with us as well.
I've been on for a couple of minutes. I just didn't want to break your flow here.
No, that's great. Thanks. But Barry was kind of on a roll talking about the videos. And one of the things that I learned in the Navy and then learned in other places was the value of spaced repetition. And as much as we think we can capture everything that we hear on the first go-around, we probably can't. And when I took some courses, video audio courses, and I used to listen to them on the way to work, and they were it was amazing. So dynamics of goal setting, dynamics of creative selling, dynamics of leadership, Success Motivation Institute out of Waco, Texas. And it was during a period when I was deciding whether to go into management or not. And I'd listen to them once a day for 5 days, just like they said to do. And what happens is it gets you thinking. And I would just put on the tape, and sometimes I'd listen to the whole thing, and sometimes I'd get off on a different train of thought, but it was always really good for me. So I always had, from that taught me the power of listening to positive reinforcements and positive things. So every day I went to work, pretty much for my whole career, I played a positive video or audio of somebody, something that was really good. And I still have an intern that's over in he was a high school junior at the time. He's now running a huge business over in Hong Kong. And he still can quote the audio tapes that we listened to work. I picked him up at Lake Forest and took him downtown to Chicago to my office, and we worked for a couple of summers together. And it made such an impression on him. He's got those things locked into his brain. And he still can quote those word for word when we have conversations. So you're absolutely right. Listening to them, don't be embarrassed to listen to them seriously, like once a day for 5 days. It sounds crazy. They're only like, you know, half an hour. You will get something out of it every time you watch. And not because it's me, but because it will stimulate an idea for you. And plus, you'll get the words right. And as you say, the words are important.
Yes.
So, you know, some of them, anyway, so don't be, you know, don't think that somehow you're not the, you know, the smart, some of the smartest people in the world. Take a little time to really get things locked in. And I was one of them, and it worked. And it kind of put me on the path of teaching people and being a decent coach. Is part of this space repetition. So, you know, when I was a manager, I had this something called the five-time rule. And the five-time rule was, it wasn't my FA's responsibility to understand something and know it until I had told them five different times. So, you know, managers get mad because they get up and give a speech and then everybody doesn't do it. My attitude was, hey, that's just the introduction. You know, and the FAs know that. If you're serious about something, you'll come by and talk about it. Well, with me, I'd give a speech and tell you about it, and then I'd come by and tell you about it, then I'd be back the next week and I'd tell you about it. And by the fifth time, you were like, okay, Rob, I get it. I'm doing it. Or I'm not doing it, and this is why. But I taught mostly process. I found early on that selling products to FAs is, you know, dangerous game. What if you're wrong? What if the product doesn't work, et cetera? So I taught process. I tried to improve their process of being better FAs. And that way I always said in a loving way, I could jam it down somebody's throat and they're not going to die from it, you know? You know, we had loving relationships regarding, you know, process, and it worked. You know, the guys became better FAs, and I learned what worked and what didn't work, and refined the process So, yeah, it's a great way to think about learning. Anyway, what else, Barry? What else is on your mind?
That's it.
Are you trying to beat you, Rob? Is that your phone?
Yeah, it's just somebody calling me. Doesn't matter. All right. So, Ryan, what's on your mind today?
Oh, oh God. There's about 6,000 things on my mind. We came in Saturday and just spent a couple hours catching up, and we got so much going on, it's disgusting. I like the VIPSA model, but I've always had a very difficult time with that conversation because I always feel very salesy when I do it. Like, I feel like there's no non-salesy way to have that conversation. It really has to be drawn out. Like, the whole, like, oh, you really like this about us. Can you think of someone in your close circle of friends or family that would also value this the same thing? And then, you know, what about your coworkers? Or your, you know, like, I have a very difficult time. I don't know, like, I've always had resentment towards salesy people, and part of what's held me back as a guest salesperson is, like, I don't want to be a salesperson. So I have a lot of cognitive dissonance around that that aspect of my job, you know, asking for the business or putting people in an uncomfortable spot and forcing them to either, you know, like that's my biggest hurdle to cross, I believe, in sales. How do I have that conversation without having that conversation in that way? Yeah.
Well, I mean, you never have to have it, okay? I mean, that's if you're you can, and what I find that, like, you know, one of the people in my book is a guy named Ken Shapiro, and Ken never asks for an introduction, and yet, you know, he brings in $100 million a year almost. So I think more sometimes. So the question is, if you're not going to do that, then what do you do? How do you create the environment where people are referring to you without you asking? And it means that you have to be a, what did I call it, a chronic? You have to be kind of an amazing giver, okay? You have to give a lot. And that's what he does. He's a huge giver. And a serial giver.
Asking for it.
Yeah, he's a serial giver. Okay. And the reason, he just believes that that's the way to do it. So what does that mean? Well, what you do is you concentrate on helping people, and then you ask them to tell you their story. All right. So you're interested in their business. And what are some of the challenges that they have? Well, that's what we do anyway, right? When we sell, when we profile people, and most people after they've told you their story and identified their issues, then they're going to ask you either for your advice, or they're going to ask you for about your business.
Right.
So either way, it's going to turn out great, but you've got to find out what it is that they need help on. And most FAs are uncomfortable doing that. They think that they're not qualified to be a true consultant to a business. But in reality, you are qualified, especially if you know Supernova.
Yeah, I'm going through that right now. Like, I've got a young couple that's got a plumbing business, and I've been helping them for like the last year, and they finally came to me and asked, you know, said they wanted to talk to somebody to do a business valuation. So I was able to get the attorney referral. I mean, the CPA referrals for the valuation. The valuation just came back, and now they're looking to me to tell them, you know, should we sell the company or stay in it, what course of action to take, and all that stuff. And I'm really, really good at that aspect of things, but it is a longer cycle for sure, you know. And I'm sure that I'm missing out on some business by not asking or not being more aggressive, you know, on certain things.
You want to jump on the call?
Close. So,
you know, You know what you can do?
I get all my referrals from a handful of people. Those are the people that, like, I've had over to my house, or I know which chair not to sit in at their kitchen table. You know what I mean? Like, for me, I truly believe, like, if you want to get a referral for someone, you've had to sit in their kitchen almost, like, from a client side of things. Like, as stupid as that sounds, you know, like you gotta take it to the home. You've gotta, you know, the same thing like with Barry's best referral sources. Like, those are people where if they have trouble with QuickBooks, we drive over there. We go over there, we fix their wireless computer, you know, like fix their router for them because they screwed up their router and they're 9 years old and it'll take Comcast a week to get out there. You know, like those are the people that give the referrals, I guess. I think some people, they're just inherently connectors and givers. You know, some people are just great like that.
Right. And that's what you want to surround yourself with. And that you can leverage the process, though. Like, if you're not going to ask for referrals, then instead of having one mastermind group, you might have three mastermind groups.
So let me ask you, I got a client who's very, very wealthy. Like, I don't even know how much money he's actually worth, to be honest. Like, really got a lot of money in a lot of places, in a lot of countries, and, you know, he's just got a lot going on. And, like, this guy, we trade options, and he's got $5 million in play in options, and he does margin, and he, like, concentrate positions. We do all kinds of crazy stuff, but things have been going really, really well for the last couple of years. He's up like 80% this year, so like he loves me right now. Like we, you know, he literally wanted to name me trustee of like his family estate, and I had to tell him no because then we wouldn't be able to have the money here if I was the trustee. But like I presented Supernova to him last week. And he kind of was like, he's open to the idea of me coming down there and sitting down and getting into the more of the family stuff and dynamics. And, you know, I've had those conversations where I'm like, what happens if you die? You know, like, your wife's not going to be able to do any of this. Are your partners going to give her money to buy you out? Like, you know, and he's not real good at all that stuff. So there's a ton of opportunity. And I know that he knows, like, massively wealthy people. I mean, like, he keeps a house. Like, he has a condo at the St. Regis on Central Park in New York, and, you know, he's got a home in London, and, you know, he's flying back and forth to China and crap all the time, and, you know, he builds factories, and, you know, like, this guy's on a...
spend more time with him.
He's on a different plane, is really the only way to say it. You know what I mean? Like, he almost accidentally bought a Monet at an auction because his wife was, like, nudging him, and he nudged her back, and they recognized his bid, you know, like... That kind of crap is going on. So, you know, when I asked him about Supernova, his response basically was, like, there's no way in hell we can have a scheduled call once a month. So I was, like, really pushing. I'm like, well, why don't we put it on the calendar and I can just try, you know? Like, but
Ryan, I'm having the same issue with Kulik. But that's a scheduling issue. That's not – it's not kind of – spending more time with them at their house on the phone, that I didn't get any pushback. The scheduling, I got pushback. She's the only one, just as Stan is, but it's just trying to but everybody, I think, is buying into the fact, and Stan, we definitely do need to spend more time with.
So Rob, what do we do with the people who, like, just kind of, like, he doesn't want to even have a call scheduled because then if he's in China, I'm going to, like, wake him up, you know, in the middle of the night, like, calling him. You know what I mean? Like,
does he have an assistant?
No.
Shit. How can he not have an assistant?
he's got a home office that he built to mimic the Library of Congress's rotunda. And, you know, like, you go in, it's like a round office with a second level with books and everything everywhere, you know. I mean, like, he's just, I don't know, he just does things a different way. And, like, he clearly values my advice, like, he's taking me to business pitches when people are pitching him, asking him for money. Like, he's taking me, and he's like, what do you think? Do you think these people are legit? You know, like, all that type of stuff. And I've kept him out of some trouble, you know. But I'm just not sure, like, should I just, like, basically have, like, a floating thing where I don't put him on the schedule, and I'm just, like, you know, make sure I try to hit him once a month, and I, like, check off the box when I get him that month, or, you know, we talk pretty regularly. No.
Tell him to hire a secretary.
How does a guy like
that manage it all? He's doing it himself?
Yeah.
He's got no CEO or CFO or COO or anything?
He's got some business partners that do certain things. But he kind of does a lot of he's got an operations manager and stuff, but they're not living with him. Like, they're in other areas. Like, he's got, you know, guys in China, and he's got guys in Kentucky, and he's got, you know.
He needs Pat.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think he needs a personal assistant to travel with him and take care of crap. I mean, I can't imagine doing that without, I mean, having that much money and not leveraging the fact that you can have somebody else organize your life, that seems kind of dumb.
I'll bring it up to him. Rob says you're stupid.
No, it's, you know, most, I mean, I just had a breakfast with the former CEO of a liquor company. And I mean, he missed it. I mean, he was one day off, and
yeah.
He said, God, I don't have my secretary anymore. Now this guy, the last year he made like $35 million, right? The last year he worked.
Wow.
And he doesn't have a secretary now. And it's the number one thing that screws him up, because he's not used to doing it all himself. So how this guy keeps his schedule? Who makes his I mean, does he have his own plane?
No.
Who makes his reservations then?
I don't know.
Okay, you got to get to know things about him, okay? He's not making his own flight reservations, I guarantee you. Somebody is running his schedule. And
okay.
That's who you need to work. That's who you need to work these appointments with. Okay?
Okay.
So your assistant calls his assistant, you make sure, and you get on the schedule, and then you're not bothering him.
Okay? I'm gonna be stunned.
Well, somebody is making his flight reservations. Right. Somebody is making his flight reservations, okay?
Okay.
So that's my question for you to find out for this week. Who makes your flight reservations? Who makes
what
your
about,
hotel reservations?
What about his wife, too?
Well, that's a whole other
thing. Does he involve her?
She...
Well, my wife...
Good.
Yeah, I mean, my wife does all that for me.
That may also be a way to educate her to solidify the relationship as well.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's a different. Yeah, that's a little different. That's a whole other ball of wax. But you want to do that because you got to know her. If something happens to him, you're out. You know. She's up flying, and you know she's up in the air, and anybody could pick her off. So you want to. You want to do that, but first you got to figure out what's going on here, because that doesn't make a guy that's got how much money does he have?
How much do you think?
I don't know. I'd say he's worth at least $20 million. I don't know.
He's worth a lot more. Lot more than $20 million. $20 million is nothing. Okay.
He's got
$20 million is pocket change.
I'm sure he's got millions in art alone.
Somebody that collects art and flies all over the world and all this stuff, they got like 100 to multi hundred millions, okay?
I'm like embarrassed. I don't think he's got that much money, but okay. The point is we need so in terms of Supernova, do I have to have a scheduled call with him? You know, like
I'm in the first category, okay? I'm not in the second category. Okay. I don't buy Monets and I don't fly all over the world at whims and have businesses all over the world. That's the $100 million guys. Okay. So Google him, find out. You got to find out more about this guy. Maybe he's real private. But anyway, so
I know his backstory and I know where his wealth came from and all that stuff. I just don't know the exact figures on everything. Like, he helped turn around like a utility group in Texas is where he got his first big hit. You know, and then he got into the battery business in China, and he was supplying like Home Depot and Sears with medium-sized batteries for like all those rascal carts and things like that. Then that company got bought out, and he was paid like $600,000 a year to stay out of the business for 7 years on a non-compete. And then when his non-compete matured, he just got back into the battery business, but in a different dynamic, and now he's producing fiber optic battery pack backups for major utilities, and they're doing some deals in other countries as well. And he's building like a big facility in Kentucky that he just got. They're doing like 300,000 square foot production facilities, and he's supposed to be meeting with the guy, Rick Perry or something, you know, to try to get some federal money or something. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, you can imagine being on my side of this conversation.
This guy should be priority number one for me is what I'm hearing.
You don't need VIPSA, okay?
Okay.
You need the other 90 million. Just get the other 90 million, okay?
Okay.
No, I think you got a great prospect there. And, just capturing his cash flow could be amazing. Just getting the new money every year. Who else does he do business with, you know?
In terms of companies?
Yeah,
or
competition.
Are you saying with the battery pack business?
No, who's your competition on this account?
Nobody to my knowledge.
So where's his money?
That's what I don't know. Like he tells me he doesn't have a lot liquid. He tells me he's got like $2 million in the bank basically, and he's got like a $5 million trading account here, which is clearly like his enjoyment money. You know, where
Right.
he just
Right.
literally you wouldn't believe the stuff this guy does. And he's got a lot of money tied up in the different businesses. I don't think he's sitting on, tens and fifties, tens and hundreds of million dollars of cash and other investments. I truly don't. He's a fascinating guy.
You have his IRA rollovers?
We have one that's only only 300,000.
Well, he's been in a couple of businesses, right, where he had pretty good positions, right?
I think he's, yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
But they weren't, they're not like long time things, you know, like he's there
how
for
old,
a couple years.
How old is he?
Late 60s.
Shit, he's got money.
I know he's got money. I mean, he's got a $2 million house on the Intercoastal down in Miami and
Hallandale.
Oh, okay, Hallandale, and like you know, it takes three. You got to go through three gates to get to his house. But he's there because he got a good deal on the lot. He doesn't even have a boat. He's got like 200 feet of frontage, and he doesn't have a boat. You know, he liked the lot, you know, like.
Sure. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, this guy's kind of an enigma. I think I'd love to find – I mean, you know, you don't have much to lose on this guy. I would have fun with him and do a financial plan for him. I mean, he needs your help. It sounds like he needs your help. Sounds like he is desperately cash poor or he's hiding money from you. If he's only got $7 million in cash with all that stuff going on, I mean he's got some issues. If something would go wrong here, he doesn't. He's 60.
His art collection's worth. Yeah.
What's his art collection? What is his art collection worth? You know,
it's worth a lot. Maybe. He's got like first run printings of like all these famous books and. He only collects. He only likes the art if it was like done before they started using canvas. Like a lot of his
okay,
stuff
so,
on like wood and leather and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Look, you know, your job is to protect him and anticipate things. You know, you should check his insurance. You know what. What if it's worth $100 million and he's got $20 million worth of insurance for it and it burns down? You know, that's the stuff you got to do for a guy like that.
Yeah, I'm sure he has his art insured.
No, he don't. He didn't.
He didn't?
He does not. He can't. He said the premiums weren't worth it. I remember when he told you know we had that conversation with him.
Right.
Won't spend the money on it. And he might have select pieces insured. Who knows, but I...
Yeah, I know.
Where's the collection going when he dies?
He's got
his daughters.
Yeah.
He's got one daughter that's living in Brazil that's doing, like, PR stuff for...
The Olympics,
and she's doing really well. He's got another daughter that's... You know, wants to be in motion pictures and like as a producer or something, and she's toiling away in New York.
I'm sure he has significant other assets tucked away.
Yeah.
Big time.
Hey Rob, that's my big takeaway today. Is I need to spend more time with him.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. I mean, there's your you know, go and spend you know. Go. I mean, look. The reality is, you got to know. I mean, go and visit your client. You know that. Go and spend a couple of days with him. Spend a week with him. I mean, whatever. And get them to be friends. You know, and do stuff for him. But anyway, you know that. You guys know that stuff. But okay. What else is on your mind? That was good. Every client has to have a plan. Remember that, okay? So if we don't have a plan, we got to get a plan. And we can't get a plan, we got to figure out how to get a plan. And if somebody won't do Supernova, then we got a problem. Because they're not valuing us. They're not valuing us enough. And so we've got to become more important to them.
So... how do you deal with, like, do you find that a lot of the business owners will schedule the time to do this? Because, like, a lot of the small business owners I work with are, like, literally impossible to deal with. Like, I hate trying to schedule them and track them down. They're great from the point where they leave you alone, but it's terrible because, like, you can never get time with them. Do you think that we just confront them and say, hey, look, you know, like...
Either you don't have enough of their money, or they don't value you enough to give you the time and respect. Something is missing here, okay?
Right.
Because business owners spend time with their CPAs and other people that are important to them. Now, they don't waste time, but they spend time with people that are important to them. They don't have to have long meetings. They don't like long meetings. They want short meetings, but they need to be informed. So you've got to transform your position as their trading account or their broker into their wealth manager, their CFO. They're the CEO, and you're the CFO of their financial future, their well-being, your financial well-being. And if that's, you know that, you know the speech,
yeah, well, like,
right?
With this one lady, like, I am that. She calls me, like, anytime she wants to do a big thing, if she's thinking about, like, purchasing a house or doing anything, she calls me. I have all of her money, and she's just a business owner. Like, she's a single mom with, like, three kids and a business owner, and she, like, refuses. Like, every time we have an appointment, it somehow gets moved. It, like, drives me insane. And it's, like, she clearly doesn't value our time or doesn't think she needs it or I don't know, but it's just, it's very frustrating because, you know.
Does she have a secretary?
Not anymore. They got bought out by a bigger company, so now she's like a divisional manager. She's not the boss anymore. That's where their money came from when they got the first buyout.
So she doesn't have a secretary either?
Not dedicated to her. There's a receptionist.
Well, somebody runs her calendar. I hope. I hope these poor people that don't run their own that run their own calendars, I can't imagine their life.
Yeah, I think that if we can incorporate being like life coaches to these people and showing them time-saving things and all that stuff, I think that that could help be our brand for financial advisors, where we look at like the whole life and like that. Remember that whole Merrill Total Wealth campaign they did like 15 or 20 years ago, like you know, where if we can like show people how to leverage their time and give them a lot of tips, and you know, I've thought about like incorporating fitness or doing activities with clients for reviews, like going on a bike ride or something, you know, that type of crap.
Right. So there's some books, right, that I make you guys read. I want you to read.
Right.
And my book. So if you really want to be a life coach and you really want to make a difference in their life, these can be great topics for your 12-4-2s. So you send them my book and then you have a call on it. Okay, you send them Jim Lehrer's book, and then you have a call on it. And then you send them Larry Wilson's book, and then you have a call on it. And you change their life.
It's a different spin, but I like it. And it takes it also away from being so financial-driven to being more relationship-driven.
That's the idea. There's a book called Younger Next Year. It's written by a doctor and a good writer. And it's about what do you do when you retire? And it's a huge transition for human beings to go from active, important part of society to old, nobody calls, and you're not important, and you have nothing to do. Okay? It's terrible for most people in their first 2 years. And you guys, for the most part, that haven't been through it, don't have an idea about it. You think, oh, it's wonderful. They go, you know, have a goodbye party, and they're gone, and, wow, they're doing everything they've always wanted to do and traveling and all that stuff. Forget about it, okay? Most people go through serious depression in their first 2 years, men particularly. And you
especially
don't,
high-powered men,
yeah.
I guess.
Right, and you don't help, okay, because you don't know that. So send them this book, Younger Next Year, and coach them through those first 2 years. Be there for them. Help them get active in the community. Help them decide what's important to them. Help them decide what charities they want to get involved in. Help them to get meaning back in their life. People have babies. You know that, Brian. And life goes in your wife. You have no idea what your wife goes through. You go back to work. Life's good. And she is like, it's terrible. Right?
Yeah, no, I have a better idea than most, I promise.
Yeah, you're a Neanderthal, Ryan.
I promise.
And the, you know, people have marriage problems, and we don't know that. You know, all of a sudden they get divorced, and we didn't have a clue. They were even having a problem. You should know when your clients are having marital problems. That's how close you should be with them. That's what 1242 does for you. Until you do it and do it consistently, you don't understand. Clients will open up like flowers to you. At the beginning, they're completely closed. You're in a box. You're a broker. And gradually, they open up and open up and open up. Until you know when they're having marital problems. And then you're in good shape. Then you know. Now, you have to hear it, but so what? It's good. You should be hearing it because it can affect everything. So this was good. This was a good conversation.
A schmuck.
No, you just normally like the best of us.
The advantage I have is I've been through all this, guys. You see, and I can tell you that having somebody that actually knows you and cares about you and anticipates that when your daughter is buying a house that maybe you can lend them the money instead of the bank and putting them through closing costs and all the other crap, you know, with a securitized loan, it makes their life completely different. And people don't think about that, but you can think about that. You can help them with that. I just lent my daughter bought a new house. I'm the bank. Instead of her doing it, going through hell in the closing, she had no costs. She's paying 3%. Roll matures in 5 years. Okay. So she can put twice as much, really almost twice as much towards principal. No insurance, you know. She's already owns a condo in New York, so she couldn't really would have had trouble on her income getting a second home.
Yeah.
So, you see, so you can leverage. Yeah.
Two quick updates. Since we started doing Supernova, our management team is much more apt to introduce us to other people who need help because they know that we're going to be delivering the Supernova and, you know, the standard that our management team's trying to put in place. Because, you know, Tim worked with James Gorman, and, you know, apparently Gorman was involved with you guys over at Merrill when you guys were rolling this out quite a bit. And they're trying to push more of that here at Morgan Stanley for sure. So management introduced us to somebody who was working on it was a new hire that had a big lead, and Barry Manko got heavily involved, and we, you know, kind of formed a partnership to go in with this guy, and we just landed. What did I expect him, Barry?
It already came in.
It's going to be 8.8 or 8.5
or around 8. We're all 7.
Should be around $8 million.
It came in yesterday.
We were also able to keep another $2.5 or $3 million in-house here by getting a referral from an advisor that wasn't talking to the clients, and they were pissed, and they wanted their fees back, and they wanted to leave the firm. And we told them about our process, and we were able to keep those two accounts. They just happen to be sisters. So that's good. And then,
By the way, Ryan, Ed is sitting in my office enjoying every minute of this.
I'm tearing listening to this. I'm tearing about it.
Yeah, so Ed particularly has been instrumental in these because he actually facilitated the intro to both these relationships. Also, we had a conversation. We've extended our talks with the other advisor we talked about who has been reluctant to partner with anyone, and it looks like we're going to be able to move forward and start to share some responsibility on money management and potentially harmonizing some models so we can take some off each other's plates. And, you know, he's also looking forward to testing the waters with additional business that doesn't hurt his previous business. So Adam Foldis downstairs, Ed. So that's good too. So lots of good things are happening. The only person who's pissed off about Supernova is Gary, who we turned down those new accounts from. So he keeps messing with me. Every time I see him, he says he's looking for an account big enough to give me. Like,
But I mean, he tried to give me two accounts that were $300,000 or $400,000, and I said, you know, that's just not our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Right.
And I've been surprised too. I've been talking to some other advisors, and we're going to finish the year up revenue wise somewhere around 10%. Whereas I've actually talked to some other advisors that are trending in the other direction because people haven't been. All the ones that have been dependent on transactions, the money hasn't been moving as much, so they're now struggling quite a bit to keep their revenue. Barry showed me $7 million of that account already got wired in.
So what account? What account?
Here, I'll come over.
You have to add the rep code to your preferences.
Okay.
So good things are happening, and the other advisor that was on one or two of our calls, Kim, has talked to us a little bit more, and people are taking us very seriously, and I think a lot of it just had to do with the fact that we've changed our dynamic, and we're now projecting from a position of strength, and if people want to work with us, then, you know, they can on our terms, and, you know, people are recognizing that, I think. So, exciting.
Yes, it is.
Wonderful. Congratulations. I mean, it's a wonderful... You know, that's
what I was telling the guys on Saturday. We don't need to do everything to the T, but as long as we keep moving forward and we keep having the momentum and we keep having the confidence and people see that, and once again, we are gathering momentum throughout this whole process.
No, it works. I love teaching it because it works, and I get to work with guys like you who are talented and skilled and ready to learn and ready to move forward. And that's why it gives me great satisfaction why I don't just, go off in the sunset and play golf, because I get a kick out of you guys. So keep pushing though. Don't accept no for an answer. No means I really don't understand what it is that you guys are doing. I don't know what you're doing. I don't value it enough. And you'll get great satisfaction out of developing those deeper relationships, which will then lead to other introductions that I think can make a huge difference. So somehow we eat up our time every week and we don't get to all the content that we want to talk about, but is there anything else that you want to cover before we before we break here?
No, I think we've covered a lot, and I think once again keep moving in the right direction. So that's the main thing.
My yeah, my last question, this may be something to ponder for our next call, but, you know, I'm just concerned with when do we try to get more help or pay for additional support. That's my biggest question. You know, I feel like every time we get some momentum going, like our CSA has vacation or gets sick, or and our backup support is not very friendly towards any work coming her way. So I think that we might need to have a – she just walked by as I said that too. Hopefully she didn't hear that. But my question is just when do we maybe pony up to get some additional support? We did that last year. We were spending more out of pocket on support. I didn't think it was right that we were spending so much. But at what point do we do that where maybe we pay to get an extra half assistant? It doesn't seem
so
like
let me ask you a question. Did it pay off this year?
This year we're actually paying less, and it has paid off.
He's asking when we paid more money to have additional support, was it worth it? I'd say yes, because we ended up getting our new CSA out of it, you know.
Okay, so my answer would be to listen to yourself. Meaning you just answered your own question. It paid off. So I would suggest you do it again. You still there?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's, you know, we're paying for it, but once again, it's making our life easier, and if we can incorporate some processes.
All right, so the next question becomes then, and Ed, you may be able to enlighten us a little bit more on this.
Ed? I don't think Ed's on it. Ed,
I'm here,
but I got to run out, guys, because we got the big meeting starting in a few minutes. So I just got to get it set up. But I hear it. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thanks, Ed.
you got the ball, Ed.
yeah. So, what happens there is if we want to get our own assistant, we basically have to pay the salary and the benefits, and it would cost us $50,000 probably to bring in a base level person, which is a lot of, it's about $200,000 of revenue for us pre-tax. You know, I don't know how that we do it, but let's just say it's $200,000 in revenue, which is a lot of revenue for us. That would be 12% of our current revenue stream. Or do we maybe say, you know what, let's start by getting a portion of someone else's time and spending an additional $5,000 or $10,000 to get another CSA to give us, you know, 10 or 15 hours a week or something like that, or to be like our overflow person.
Right. So one thing that's free is hiring an intern and always having an intern. Okay. That's one thing. Analyze what you need. All right. Before you go and hire somebody, see what it is that's missing and what you need, okay? What are you doing that you don't need to do? So do your homework first. The answer is always to hire your own, okay? Sharing is a waste. You want to hire your own, but before you go out and hire your own, figure out if it isn't possible to work with what you have more efficiently. That's what Supernova does. So do some homework and figure out where your leverage can come from in terms of, and look and make sure the work you're doing needs to be done. Is it possible that somebody else could do it, or it doesn't need to be done at all before you go out and spend money? It's probably going to come down to, I hope, that you need to spend the money, that you're very, very efficient already. But if you're not, then that can at least make sense for a while. Okay, that's my next call, guys. I'll see you later.
Thanks. Now. Bye bye.
Just hang on. I'll be right there. I've got to hang up for 1 minute.
Okay.
Hey, Ryan.
You wanna log in real quick? keep this one. He doesn't have any in the fourth space, but this one, he says the client moves back and forth.
Who is
it? Changes the address.
Yeah, we'd have to keep it, or we'd
come out. Yeah. That'd be three, though. You can drop.
Tracy's texting me. Everyone's texting me.
The host has joined the conference.